You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast, recorded live at our Manchester campus. For more information, visit audaciouschurch.com.
Amazing. How's everyone doing? You good? At the back quarters, how are we? Good? At the back, are you good? Good this side? Amazing. How many people were at Night Safari? Just give us a wave. You had a good time. We had a powerful night of fire last weekend, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, and we were just declaring a new season, and we're believing what God has started, God is going to carry on and is going to complete in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. But you know, we've got a part to play, so we can't just, if God starts something new, he asks for our participation. And so we have to do something to partner with God and say yes and amen to everything that he's started in our lives. So don't just sit back. Let's lean forward. Let's make sure we plan and prioritize the things of God, what God has for us, so that we can get hold of everything that God started last weekend. Is that good? Amazing. Well, it's great to be with you. We're doing a few weeks now leading up to Easter. We're going to be, this term, we're praying, we're fasting coming up. And on a Sunday, we're going to preach some of the significant life messages of the house. And so we thought, we just really want to, over the last 2 years, the church has grown by 35%, which is incredible. You can clap that. God's doing amazing things. And so there's many new people that have come to our church and really not heard what the church is about, who we are. And so we're really just preaching some of the key themes over the next few weeks and really just to reheat, re-emphasize and remind ourselves, who are we as Audacious Church? What's God called us to do? What part in the global body is God asking us to emphasize and play our part so that we can see what God wants to do in this city? So let's get ready, seat belts on, but on the edge of your seat, and let's believe that God is going to move in every heart and every mind. Do you want God to speak to you over the next few weeks? Three people want God to speak to them in the next few weeks. Good. Well, let's just believe God's going to do something. Will you put your hand on your heart? God, we just pray that you would soften hearts, soften minds. God, come and speak to us, challenge us, encourage us, lift us up. Lord, may we be strong. May we be courageous. May we, God, whenever we step foot in our world, in our work, whatever we step foot into, we pray we would take that land in the name of Jesus. We pray for miracles. We pray anyone that needs healing would be healed today in the name of Jesus. We pray for visas to come through in the name of Jesus. We pray, God, for provision for those that need it. God, come and show yourself, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. Bless us and bless the word into our hearts today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Well, Emily's away this weekend. She's with our Geneva campus, and also our daughter is away. She's with Young Lions, our young leaders, in the middle of Wales somewhere with no signal. And so the house is just me and the boys. And so we've just been, you know, helping each other along, just cooking for each other. The boys have been cleaning, obviously, doing the washing, been doing all of that stuff. We've been surviving, I'll just say that. But we're all good. We're all here and present and ready to go. But, you know, we love football, and so basically if the girls are away, that means we're going to eat football, we're going to sleep football, we're going to watch football, we're going to play football, and everybody said, yeah. Amen. And so, you know, my boys are a little bit crazy when they watch football. Now, our team is Manchester United, no choice in our home, no choice. I said to the boys, as soon as they could have any level of understanding or logic, so you've got a choice about your football team, but one means that you can stay in the house, the other means you sleep in the garden. So that's based on the choice you have. So anyway, we don't have much to celebrate, but we do celebrate when teams that we don't like lose. And they've got good at that over the last few years. And so they're crazy. In fact, I want to show you. I mean, this was a few years ago. We were watching England, but you need to see nothing's changed, right? So what you're seeing here happens at least twice a weekend, whether we win or someone else loses. Watch the screen. They get it all from their mum. And I mean, that's just normal behavior in our house. And but the truth is, what you're seeing there is when you value something, you celebrate that thing. And it's really proof that there is praise in every single one of us. Praise literally means to express outwardly something that's impressed you internally. And so when you love something, when you appreciate something, when you value something, it is normal to express outwardly what's been impressed internally. We all praise stuff, whether it's your team winning or the opposite team that you don't like losing, or whether it's exam results that you're celebrating, or just the fact that exams have finished, you celebrate those things. Whether it's a baby announcement or a wedding or whatever it is, we all value things and then outwardly express anything that we value. You talk about the things that you value. And all of that's evidence that you offer praise to things that you appreciate. And so really, I just reckon that we should be a church where our best praise is not reserved for things out the church, but our best praise should be reserved to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Come on, his name is Jesus. I think that's where our best praise should go. And so I want to challenge you to think about, where's your best praise? What's the thing that you celebrate, express the most? I believe that God has called us as a house to be expressive in our worship and our praise, that we should celebrate and declare the goodness of God. And we should let other people see that what God has done on the inside, it has to come outside. We outwardly express everything that God has done internally. We're going to read from the Bible, from Psalm 150. So if you've got your Bible, cut it in half, and you'll basically be somewhere close to Psalm 150. The Bible says, praise the Lord. Would you say that? I now say it like you mean it.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Has anyone picked up the general overriding theme of Psalm 150? What is it? I'm glad you got that. Praise him with the timbrel and dancing. Praise him with the strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. And then if you don't have a pipe, you don't have resounding cymbals, you don't have any of these things, you don't have a trumpet, the Bible says in verse 6, there's a verse for you, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Come on, would you shout, praise the Lord? Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Psalms, 150 of them, is basically the hymn book of the Bible. It's the praise manual. It's full of people that in good times. They celebrate the good times. They thank God that the good times are not just out of their own doing and because of their own gifts, but praise God, the glory goes back to you in the good times. And Psalm 150 Psalms shows us also people going through the depths of despair and facing incredible obstacles and challenges in their life, and they don't just sit back and think, well, it's all right for everybody that it's going well for. They can praise God, but for me, I'm going to wait till things turn around. No, they recognize His power in their praise. And so even when things are going wrong, and even when they are walking through the valley of the shadow of death, they say, yet we will praise you. We're going to make a decision. Whether things are good or bad, happy or sad, we've made our decision. We are going to praise the Lord. We're going to offer our praise. 150 Psalms is full of people that have made that decision to bring an offering of praise. It's going to cost me something at times, and I'm going to bring a sacrifice of praise. In other words, when I don't feel like it, I'm going to get beyond myself. And I'm going to sacrifice something. I don't really feel like doing this, but God, I'm going to bring a sacrifice of praise to you. 150 Psalms is full of praise. And wonder at who this incredible, almighty, all-powerful God is. Well, we understand when we read 150 Psalms that we should praise. It's the right thing to do to praise the Lord. Would you shout, praise the Lord? That's just the right thing to do. But I've also found in 150 Psalms that God outlines not just that we should praise, but He outlines how we should praise. I made a decision to go through 150 Psalms and tally up each time that God gave us a specific directive on how we should praise. And so I'm going to give you today the top 40. Sorry, we haven't got time for that. I'm just going to give you the top 5 praise directives. These are the most common themes of how God instructs us to praise. We all know that we should praise, right? Yes. Come on, say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
But let's find out how we should praise. Number 5, we're going to go 5 up to 1. This is a countdown. So at number 5, are you ready?
Yes.
Number 5 is God instructs a together praise. 21 times in 150 Psalms, God, the Bible says that we should praise together. This His 5th top instruction on how we should praise is to not praise on our own individually. No. Come together. I want you to praise me together. Psalm 35 verse 18, I will give thanks in the great assembly among throngs of people. There, I will praise you. Psalm 42, verse 4, I used to go with a multitude, leading the procession to the house of God, to the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. God has chosen that His people come together to praise God. Can we say together,
together.
Praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. That's how God loves it. It brings Him pleasure when His people make a decision. I'm not just going to praise isolated on my own, but I'm going to come to the house of God to bring my offering of praise, to bring my offering of worship, to come and sit next to one another and to lift up one voice, one song that says, God, we worship you. We want to praise you because God wants a praise together. See, when we praise together, something powerful happens. You see, whenever we go through whatever we go through, we've got a choice whether we just sit in that and we become a victim to that, or that becomes an excuse of not to engage with God. And we wait till things get better. But when you make a decision, it's a priority. It's a non-negotiable that I'm going to put myself in the assembly. When I put myself there, I look to my left, I look to my right, I see people over there, and I know they're just like me. They've got a story, they've got a circumstance, they've got a challenge. They're waiting for a healing, they're waiting for a provision, but they've got their hands up, they're lifting their voice in worship, that person's jumping and dancing. So maybe if they can praise, then maybe I can praise too. See, there's powerful things happen when we come together. We're reminded by the rest of the house that, come on, we've got a responsibility to bring our praise. Would you shout, praise the Lord? We've got to make a decision, come on, to bring ourselves in the great assembly. Number four, everyone say four. The fourth top praise directive is to bring a loud praise. A loud praise. 24 times in 150 Psalms, God instructs not just a whisper or a whimper or a thought pondering moment. No, no, God instructs a shout, loud praise. See, we might say, oh, it's not my style. It's not my thing. Like, I'm more melancholic. I'm more just the quiet, reserved. I just like to think on the things of God. And all of those things are good and they have their place. But if you go through 150 times, only nine times does it say that we should meditate on the Lord or that we should be still. Only nine times. And yet 24 times it says to bring a loud shout of praise. And so if we have a moment of reflection, then we should have three moments of shouting, because God wants from us a response to everything that He's done internally. He wants us to express it externally. Would you shout, praise the Lord? You see, for me to think, I don't need to do anything. I can say, oh, I'm thinking praise. I'm just thinking about the things of God. I'm just meditating on all of His goodness. And I can just stand there and do nothing. But to shout, that requires something from me. That means I've got to step outside of my comfort zone. It means I've got to step outside of thinking, well, what's the person next to me going to think if I shout, praise the Lord? It means I've got to step outside of my personality. It means I've got to step outside of my personal preference, because God wants me to make an expression of His goodness that isn't defined by my personality, preference, or how I'd like to think on Him, but rather I have to step outside and say, God, I'm going to lift up a shout of praise because You deserve it. Come on, can you shout, praise the Lord? Come on, when you value something, you can't stay quiet about it. You ask anyone, tell me something that you love about just life and something that you've experienced that really changed your life. Tell me about it. And they're not just going to think about it and just say, well, you know. They're going to be excited and animated. They're going to be expressive. And by the end, you're going to think, I want some of that. See, when you praise, you change the atmosphere of the room for somebody else. Because when you lift up a shout, the person that walks in that's had a difficult time watches you and says, wow, maybe there's something about the power of praise. Maybe I should express what God has done inside of me. I should express it outwardly. Come on, we've got to bring a loud praise. Will you shout, praise the Lord? Colossians 1:29, Paul was struggling with all of the Holy Spirit energy that was working so powerfully within him. In verse 29, he has just been so impacted by the power and the nature of God and His supernatural power that the Bible says in Colossians 1:29 that he just says, indeed, I can't hold it in. See, that's the power of when God has impacted your life. You just can't help but a praise bubble up. You can't help but express outwardly what God has done inwardly. It's a natural response. Response is begin to thank God and worship Him and say, praise the Lord, and lift up something that's a sacrifice that says, God, despite what's going on, despite my preference, I have to praise you because you are worthy of my praise. Can you shout, praise the Lord? It's a loud praise. The third thing is a declarative praise. 43 times in 150 Psalms, the Bible says that we should speak out our praise. Psalm 106, verse 2, who can proclaim the mighty acts of the Lord or fully declare his praise? The psalmist is almost coaxing us, teasing us. Who can fully declare the goodness of God? I mean, have your words finished? Have you finished praising God? I mean, have your words come to the end of what God has done in your life? Have you finished declaring about the character and nature of this almighty, all-powerful God? Have you finished talking about who he's revealed himself to be through all of his names and through Jesus walking the planet? Have you finished your thanks? The psalmist is almost going, really? Really? See, a declarative praise understands that when the song lyrics finish, our praise doesn't. Because our praise is not restricted to words on a screen. Because when God's done something on the inside, you know you've got something to shout about. You know you've got something to speak about. You know you've got something about who God is about that you need to remind yourself. You know, the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing from the Word of God. You ever been in the car on your own or at work and you're the only Christian there or school, or you've been in a room and you're all alone and your thoughts begin to spiral and you think about your own situation and how bad things are? The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing from the Word of God. You know what happens when you declare the goodness of God? You tell yourself you are going to hear the Word of the Lord, whether you like it or not, is. I'm going to declare the goodness of God. I'm going to speak who God has revealed himself to be. I'm going to bring a declaration of praise, because in this moment, I might be on my own, but I need a word of faith. And if faith comes by hearing and there's no one else to speak, then I need to open up my mouth, I need to move my tongue, and I need to declare the goodness of God so that faith is stirred in my spirit. Come on, I wonder if you can declare right now the goodness of God. Who's God to you? What has God revealed himself through his word? Come on, church. Come on, let your ears hear. Let your ears hear the goodness of God. Come on, declare the goodness of God. He's all powerful, all knowing. Thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you walked this earth, lived the perfect life. Thank you, Jesus, that you gave your Holy Spirit supernatural empowerment to give us strength and boldness and courage to face each day. Come on, declare the goodness and wonders of God so your own ears hear. May faith be ignited in this place. Psalm 40, verse 10. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. No, no, no. I speak. I speak. I speak of your faithfulness and salvation. I'm not going to conceal your love and truth from the great assembly. Come on, somebody else in this room needs the praise from you. Come on. The road behind you is relying on your praise right now. Come on, let's declare the goodness of God. When God created the world, he created the world with his words. He spoke, and then things were created. You see, when you speak, your world either shrinks or it grows. If your world is full of words of negativity and pessimism and putting people down, then your world shrinks. The borders and parameters of your life shrink to the size of your words. But when you begin to speak life, when you begin to prophesy, when you begin to declare the goodness of God, when you declare who He is, not who you are, when you declare about the nature and the character of this powerful God, then your world begins to grow. You begin to stretch. You begin to open up. You begin to live in a more spacious place. And you expect, not through your own experience, but through the eyes of faith, you can believe God because you're bringing a declaration of praise. Would someone shout, praise the Lord? Come on, praise the Lord. God, we're going to bring our praise together. God, we're going to bring you a loud praise because you deserve the best. Our best is not reserved for what's out there. Our best is reserved for you. You deserve our highest. You deserve our loudest. You deserve an expression that is a sacrifice of praise. I'm going to continue to declare your goodness. I put praise on my lips. My lips. Second thing, the second top praise directive is that you'd bring a jubilant praise. 53 times the Bible says, come on, bring fun, celebration. Bring the party to the house of God. Bring a celebration of praise. The house of God should be a carnival atmosphere. This should be the best party in Manchester because we understand we've got the greatest cause that we're living for. We have got the Almighty God who is our provision, who is our guide, who is our strength, that nothing can stop us because we have the power of the Holy Spirit within us. We've got enough reason to praise. You say amen? Psalm 4 verse 7, you filled my heart with greater joy. Psalm 9 verse 2, I will be glad and I will rejoice in you. Psalm 28 verse 7, my heart leaps for joy and I will give thanks. Psalm 100 verse 2, come before him with depressing songs. Sorry. Come before him with joyful songs. Come on, it's okay to smile in church. It's okay to actually enjoy the service. It's okay to walk out of this place feeling more upbeat than you walked in. It's okay to sing and dance and express your praise to God because He's looking for a celebration. He's looking for a jubilant praise. Some people think anointing and fun are polar opposites. It's like if it's anointed, it must be serious. And we must breathe really heavily. And they're like, oh, okay, this is the anointed bit. And then if we celebrate, we have fun, we look at each other, enjoy life, then it's kind of okay, but it's just waiting for the serious bit. Anointed and fun are not polar opposites of the spectrum. God wants you to celebrate. He wants you to sing joyfully to the Lord. He wants you to enjoy yourself in the presence of God. He wants you to celebrate and party. Psalm 92 verse 4, you have made me glad. I will sing for joy. Psalm 33 verse 1, sing joyfully to the Lord. You're righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise Him.
Thank you for listening to the Audacious Church podcast. For more information, visit audaciouschurch.com.